Good afternoon. Good morning. Not good afternoon. What am I? So this presentation is going to be very different than everything else you've heard because I'm not a specialist in cyberbullying. I'm from the School of Information Studies. We have been studying children's and young adults' information behavior for the last 20 years. So I'm coming at it from a different angle. And this is to help those who are interested in designing portals and websites for children to convey information about cyberbullying, for example. Maybe it benefits you, the presentation would benefit you. So I'm going to talk a little bit about background, about children as partners in designing systems for children. And I'm going to give an example that we implemented a few years ago, designing a portal for children and the success of that, and then conclude with the concluding remarks. We know that the fastest growing group of internet users are children between the ages of 8 and 12. We have many statistics which I can talk about later if, during question period. But one of the statistics that might interest you is that teenage girls especially text at the rate of 3,000 a month, per month. Average 3,000 texts per month. And there are lots of statistics like that. We know that from our own observations, children rely on Google. Google owns about 85% of the world market right now as a search engine. That's where children and young adults get their information consistently, whether it's health information or information about cyberbullying. They do not use sites that are designed specifically for children, such as Yahooligan and KidsClick. How many of you know about Yahooligan? One, right. And we know that children encounter problems when they're seeking information. They just simply type in the keywords and they expect everything to retrieve proper information. So the first instances of involving children in the design process was back in 1989. So it's not a very long time ago to involve them as end users in designing systems. Hannah and her colleagues at the IBM involved children and as young as 11 to 14. Addison Druen from University of Maryland has a large project, an intergenerational design of websites and portals. And Danielle Belial is at Tennessee, and she's found out that in order for systems to be usable by children, they have to be cool and engaging. From the research, we know that children have a natural tendency to browse. They browse to discover new information, and browsing is an act of recognition rather than recall. That is, you recognize shapes, forms, text, and that's how makes browsing much easier. It doesn't have a cognitive overload. Now, children are not just small adults. They constitute a separate community. They can express their design ideas as well as adults to a limit, to a certain limit. So I'm going to go very quickly through this project that we finished not long ago. We were going to design a portal for children to help them find information on Canadian history for their school projects. Now, as I said, this is just an example, a case study, but you can imagine designing a system that would convey information about cyberbullying or health or whatever else. So what we did, we had eight student volunteers from grade six. We had three adults. We teamed up together. We had 13 sessions, normally about one or two sessions per week, and we created a portal called History Trek, which I will talk about in a minute. We developed a new methodology called bonded design, and I will just explain this in not very detailed because we don't have that much time, but essentially we have a design team which consists of designers and users being children. We go through a design sessions and we create what we call low-tech prototype. So that's the first step, that to create paper-based systems. And low-tech prototype is essentially a paper-based system. This is the design sessions that we went through. So the first step was a need analysis. So what we did with these children who were our partners in this bonded design team, the 8 children, we together, equal partnership, designed a survey. This was in an elementary school, a public elementary school in the West Island in Montreal. They went during their lunch times, and based on the survey, they did a need analysis, what we call a need analysis, of other children. They talked to other children. They talked to their colleagues. Now, what do you want to see in a website for children? They brought the data back. We had evaluation of existing systems. We did evaluation. We did the discussion groups. We did brainstorming of what the features of a new system should be like. We did prototyping and consensus building at the end of each session. And that was the most difficult. These are children of 11, 12 years old. That was the most difficult thing for them to do, to build consensus. This is just a detail of what we did during these sessions. The volunteers were from the same grade. We held the sessions in their environment that they were comfortable in. We had a gender balance that was very important, the equal number of boys and girls in the team, small team, very close collaboration between us and the children. We were the technology experts or information experts, and children were experts on being children. Now, this is very, very important. So if you're designing new systems for children, you need their expertise that on being children, because we have forgotten what it's like. Well, some of us have forgotten more than others what it's like to be children. And they help us to design these systems much better. Just going through it quickly. So we created low-tech prototypes from the low-tech, that is the paper-based, and we had crayons and papers, and these kids were going nuts designing these systems over 13 sessions with our help. And we transformed that to a real system, and then we tested that real system. And this is what they came up with. That's the design that they came up with. It's www.historytrek.ca. And it's still operational, although I'm running out of funds and I can't maintain it anymore. We have had over 2 million hits so far. It's used pretty widely across the country to do for doing history projects that children have to do in the schools. And as I said, this is just an example. This same type of methodology can be used to design sites and systems to convey information about cyberbullying, health, or whatever you have. We have tested this system with focus groups, English interfaces, and we have French and English. It's fully bilingual, and we have done full testing on the system. I'm just going through this very quickly. In conclusion, the bonded design methodology works. More than 2 million hits, as I suggested. Children and teens can contribute to the design process in equal partnership with adults. This was just an example, but we have many other examples of this type of studies in a book that we just came out this year, The Information Behavior of a New Generation. And in fact, Shaheen Sharif has written a chapter in the book on cyberbullying. But we have very many other interesting chapters about, for example, everyday life information seeking of children, which a couple of our colleagues from US have written. And there they present much of the data there. At the conclusion of this book, I just wanted to share this. After looking at all the studies in our field, we have come to the conclusion that we are in a paradigm shift right now in terms of information behavior of children and young adults, teens. We know that right now, children, when they're looking for information, they skim, they don't read. Especially boys are click-happy. They just click, click, click. They just don't read. Girls read a little more, but in general, they skim. They create and distribute information like never before. And we have heard lots of examples of that, right? They're constantly creating information. They're posting it and distributing it. And they collaborate. a lot. So these are what has caused a paradigm shift in the information behavior of children from maybe 2015 to 20 years ago. And this has all sorts of ramifications for educators and parents as well. And I thank you for being here.